Thank you for your grace, your mercy. Establish your grace and your mercy, O God, upon our lives. Let your word, O God, unfold unto us. Build our faith up upon your word, O God. Establish your word in our lives. Let Jesus be Lord, truly Lord, over our heart, mind, soul, and body. Father, we ask that your word will be like a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Cause us, O God, that we will have an understanding in your word. Let your word, O God, minister to our hearts. Speak thy rhema word, Lord. Speak thy word that we need to hear, O God. Glorify your Son Jesus in our midst, O God. Let your presence be exalted, your glory be known, and your grace, O God, be felt and be received. Thank you, Father God. We covenant with you, O Lord, that we give you all the glory, worship, and honor. In Jesus' name. And everybody say, Amen. Praise God. Would Jesus declare off in your name this Jesus? Amen. Praise God. There is just a little bit of some things that the Spirit God wants you to do. We have been doing a series on revival. And please take note that this message is a continuation of what we've been touching through. We have mentioned that revival comes in four different phases. And the first phase we have mentioned is the new wine or the manifestation of God. God manifests himself. And then the second phase is structure. God gives us a pattern in which to deal around his manifestation. It's called the new wine skin, for that to contain the new wine, so that we can drink of the new wine anytime that we need to. The third phase is the structure, the third phase is expansion. And last week we talked about the structure as it has been established. We take it that by the third stage that we will have the manifestation, we will have the structure pattern after the way God wants it. It is a structure that is patterned after God's spirit. And that involves his message, his ordinances, his statutes, as we saw the last week on some ordinances of God. This morning, this afternoon, we want to look into the area of expansion. When the manifestations have come into our lives, and when the structure is all ready, God is about to launch us forth into a different phase. It's called the expansion phase. Now, the expansion phase is where God takes you and begins to launch you out. It is like a launch pad that God moves you into. Let's look at the book of Galatians in chapter 2. Paul talks about his life and ministry. Now, the background of Galatians 2 is Galatians 1. In verse 13 to 16, he says, "And I advance in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me to his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood." Paul says that he had a manifestation. He had God appearing to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that one of those things took place in the book of Acts, chapter 9, when he was on his way to Damascus, Jesus revealed himself to him. Now, Jesus continued to reveal himself to Paul. I believe there was a first phase where he experienced all the manifestations of God, all the tangible anointings that God will have on his life to a certain extent. And there will be a period when he receives more revelation than he has time to understand. It's just that he's open to the spirit world. It's a phase of manifestation. Sometimes you go through a phase of manifestation. Now, these four phases in revival are true of individual life, of the church life, and of a national life, a national revival. All these things need to flow together. So there's a phase that sometimes we go through, it's called the manifestation phase. But Paul has said, God keep manifesting, God keep showing himself. And you hardly have time to do anything except to receive and to use the God's manifestation. Suddenly, you are moved into the second phase, which is the structure part. God began to teach you methods and patterns to understand what you have received. You see, everything that we have from God, every manifestation needs to be understood. If you don't understand what the manifestation is and what the manifestation is about, then you can never begin to move into them. Every manifestation and every anointing continues to flow in our life. Even right now, in my life, there are some manifestations that I do not understand yet. And we continue to move in the different types of manifestations, different sensations of the spirit world, different tangibilities of the anointing of God, which God began to show us, God began to teach us, and we need to understand them first before we can step upon them. They are the manifestations of God. And these manifestations come as a spirit of God will. For example, if you have heat on your hands, or heat on your ears, or heat on your back, there is a reason for that. Sometimes it takes us months, even years, to understand a particular manifestation. William Branham had a peculiar manifestation in his life, at different points in his life. Sometimes when he was about to smoke in his teenage life, as he picked up a cigarette and he was under a tree about to smoke, suddenly he felt this wind blowing. Not a physical wind, he heard a wind that blew. And he heard a voice that sort of warned him, it frightened him, he threw away the cigarette. And this occurred several times in his life. He didn't understand what the manifestation was. And sometimes we go for years without understanding the manifestation. Some of you may be called to be prophets, and for years you don't understand God's dealing in your life. Now, if you don't understand God's dealing in our life, how can He use it? We have to receive His dealings in our life. We have to receive the manifestation that He has for our life. And finally, after many years, I believe nearly about 14 to 15 years, he felt he got to find out from God what this thing means. And William Branham took a cup of water and he went into the woods and he said to his wife, if I don't come back, I will not come back. If I don't get this through, I will not come back. In other words, he would rather die right now than to be bothered by this manifestation that he can't understand all his life. This peculiarity that he keeps experiencing from time to time. A long time he never came for. But while he was out in the woods and there was a little hut that was there, and he prayed and he cried and he sought God. He wanted to understand the manifestation that was on his life. Then the angel of God came as a ball of fire, and out of the fire walked an angel, and the angel began to tell him that he was trying to get through to him all the time. Finally, he understood about the angel, about his call, about the manifestation, and the signs that were to follow his life. From that day onward, he learned to work with his angel. In the same way, the Apostle Paul says, God revealed his Son to me. But Paul didn't fully understand that revelation. It took him many, many years to understand that. Finally, he came to the point where he understood them more and more. From Acts chapter 9 to Acts chapter 11, when he started his ministry, was a period of about 9 years. He tells us there that after the manifestation in verse 17, chapter 1, verse 17, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. So Paul was wrestling in Arabia and the Master for 3 years. What Mena did? What does this mean? There are manifestations of God. Some things of which it takes time to understand. It is not that like something like you want to understand and straight away you understand. The spiritual things are not that way. Spiritual things are understood only by the permission of God. And sometimes God waits until we come to a peculiar or particular position in our life, or in our prayer, or in our devotion, before it gives you a little bit of understanding of what the manifestation means. There's a lot of prayer, fasting, and waiting upon God to understand some of those manifestations. But once you understand them, you can flow in them. And in verse chapter 2, verse 1, after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me. Verse 2. I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but finally to those who our reputation left by any means and had run or had run in vain. In other words, Paul had developed his line and his ministry. Now, after 14 years in the ministry, he was ready to be launched out into something different, something new. Now, he has been teaching experimentally some of the things that God revealed to him about the gospel to the Gentiles. But even as he preached, he was beginning to gain an understanding. Until now, 14 years after he started, he found that it was time to launch forth into something new. And the Holy Spirit told him, he said he went by revelation, not arranged by man, not arranged by human schedule, not arranged by circumstances. But he says he went up by revelation. There was a time that he was to meet with the apostles, confront them, and be accepted into a different dimension that God has for him. Look at verse 8 and 9, chapter 2 of Galatians. For he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the second time also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be fearless, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. So he says that they will go to the Gentiles, and while Peter, James, and John go to the circumcised, that is, the Jews. So they had established by that time Paul's ministry and recognized and accepted Paul's ministry. When you have a manifestation and you have the right structure, you are ready for the right hand of fellowship to be launched for. And the expansion phase is a phase where God is going to work through the structure that you have established in phase 2 and through the manifestation that has now become a part of your life. Therefore, if our structure is not proper, you can't use it. You can't even go to phase 3, the expansion phase. It is almost like in the time of Moses, God appeared to Moses and God revealed his laws to the Mosaic laws and all the other laws, ceremonial laws, moral laws, and commandments of God to the Israelites. And then God gave them a pattern to build the tabernacle and the ark. And that building of the tabernacle ark was like the structure of God's presence in their life. How is it to continue in their nation? And they obey God. In the book of Leviticus, we are told all the different details and the feasts. In the book of Exodus, the different things. And at the end of the book of Exodus, it says that everything was finished according to the pattern which God showed Moses. Now they have the manifestation and the pattern. From that time onwards, God worked through the ark. All through the generation of the kingdom of Israel, it was the ark. When Joshua went into the promised land, the ark was a key force in which the victory was won. Now Joshua going forth with the ark expresses the structure and the manifestation already. Now you're going to make use of the ark. And it goes forth. Like last week we saw that the presence of God and the ordinance of God, not like good luck charm. I mean, they are also based on your obedience and your heart condition. When the Israelites tried to use the ark like good luck charm in the book of 1 Samuel, we saw how that the ark was captured. It doesn't work that way. Their lives have to be right. It's not like a charm. Although something that is anointed is anointed and is in fact an anointing, it's not like a charm. A charm works irrespective of whether you are obedient to laws or not. There is a lot of robbers and thieves. They have all this idolatry kind of charm. They think that they break the law, they do all the wrong things, and they do nasty things, they lose their temper, they're immoral, that the charm will protect them. The things of God doesn't work like that. Even the anointing of God and the ordinances of God and the blessings of God on any object work when our heart condition is right. When our lives are right, then and only then can we step upon the blessing that is in the structure. So there's a manifestation, there's a structure, and now based on the structure, God was going to expand their life, their nation. To Joshua, there was an expansion, a conquest in fact, and the whole land of Canaan was in a sense generally conquered. The small specific battles that we fought are the real strikes. But Joshua was successful in conquering and in dividing the land. There was an expansion. Now we're not going to look at all of them, we're going to look at some of them. And remember again, I remind you, this is about the third phase. If you don't get the first two phases correct, you need to look at them carefully and learn how to establish it. Expansion is only, I repeat, only when phase one and two has been completed. And then the third phase comes forth. Let's look at the life of David as God was about to expand his life and ministry. In the book of 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, book of 2 Samuel, chapter 5. Remember that by 2 Samuel chapter 5, David had all the structure in proper position. Now God manifested to David. David had an anointing of God come in his life. That is in 1 Samuel. That was David's first anointing. David's second anointing came after Saul and Jonathan died. And he was anointed by the tribe of Judah. David's final anointing and recognition came, like the right hand of fellowship given to him. The same Christ came in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and anointed David as king, the third anointing. So by that time, the structure was there. You think David was supposed to be king over all of Israel, but it took him a long time to become king. At first, only a few people recognized him. Then more and more people recognized him. Then an entire tribe recognized him. Finally, by 2 Samuel chapter 5, the whole Israel recognized him. Finally, the structure is in place. Israel was supposed to have David as king all the time. God could not bless them as long as David was not king after David was anointed. You realize that? As long as David was anointed to be king, Israel could not be blessed until David led them. And whenever David led them, even under the auspices of Saul the king, they were blessed. As long as the leadership of David was on their life on the nation was blessed. It was God's plan. It was God's structure. Finally, the nation, after a lot of battles and civil war, because after Saul and Jonathan died, Abner, Saul's uncle, took over and ruled. And Ish-bosheth was Saul's son, was only a puppet king. Actually, Abner was the main guy. He's the main commander-in-chief of the army. And so he ruled over the northern kingdom, and there was a lot of fight between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, between the ten tribes and the tribe of Judah. On and on. But the Bible says that the house of Saul got weaker and weaker, and the house of David got stronger and stronger. See, God has his plan. In God's structure, God said, I will not bless Israel, I will not expand Israel, I will not wipe out all Israel's enemies until and unless all Israel, all the 12 tribes come under David, whom I appointed to be king. Finally, in 2 Samuel chapter 5, David was anointed king. Now there was a structure in that. Now there are many multiple structures. There's another structure that is for the tabernacle and for the temple that David was instrumental to build. But that's another story. Remember, revival can come concurrently. There can be two or three revival moving together at the same time. Just like the word move, the spirit move, charismatic move, different moves can be going on at the same time. The revival of prayer, the revival of the fivefold. There are different moves that sometimes are tail to tail, sometimes they overlap one another. Each move has its phases. Every move of God has all the different four phases. Some are different phases. Now, as far as David and the kingdom, as far as the monarchy of Israel was concerned, that was a move of God. And finally, the monarchy was in the right position. All the 12 tribes were submitted to David, and David was anointed to be king. It was all ready for the expansion phase. And David began to lead all Israel to vanquish all the enemies of Israel. For the first time, David was launching forth to expand all the borders of Israel. Before that, he was just basically preparing his structure. Remember, his mighty man, all these were developed. Oh, these are internal structures that he learned to prepare even from the Adullam cave until he was king for 7 years over the tribe of Judah. He was preparing his structure. By the time he took over all the other 10 tribes, he had a structure, a military structure, all ready to launch war. So David was not doing nothing, he was doing something. He was structuring things properly. Now in 2 Samuel chapter 5, the first thing that they did in verse 6 was to conquer Jerusalem. Now the Jerusalem was supposed to be the place, the capital of Israel, and somehow the record of the Bible shows all the achievements that David did. How they came against the Jebusites, who were in the area of Jerusalem at that time, and how David conquered Jerusalem, and in verse 9, David dwelt in a stronghold and called it the city of David. Then David built all around from the Milo and inward. So David went on and became great, and the Lord of hosts was with him. He established a capital city, etc. Things began to flow. Now in chapter 5, verse 17. When the Philistines heard that they anointed David king over Israel. Now not when they had anointed David king over Judah. This was when all the 10 tribes anointed David. They got afraid. In verse 18, the Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand. So David went to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there, and he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me, like a breakthrough of water. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And they left the images there, and David and his men carried them away. Then the Philistines ran up once again, and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, you shall not go up, circle around behind them, and come upon them in front of the mulberry tree. So it shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance quickly. For then the Lord will go out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. And David did so as the Lord commanded him, and he drove back the Philistines from Geba as far as Giza. And in other words, David completely wiped them out and pushed them far back out of the borders of Israel. Now I'm going to take that battle as an example here of expansion. David was now beginning the expansion program for the monarchy of Israel. He had the manifestation of God, the anointing on his life. He had the structure, the military structure, all ready for war. His mighty men and all these ready trained, and all the mighty men of Israel, all of them lined up, and he has made them captains here and there, all over the place. And now he's ready for war. And as he began the expansion, notice, even if you have the manifestation, even if you have the right structure, you never ever go until the Lord tells you to go. The Lord said, circle around and behind them. And the Lord says, verse 24, it shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the top of the mulberry tree, then you shall at once quickly. Say, why quickly? Folks, when the anointing of God moves, you better move fast. Because when the anointing of God comes to do something, it can also leave off. I'm talking about anointing upon. And whenever the anointing of God is for something, you quickly go in and tap upon that before it leaves off. Because an anointing, tangible and powerful, can be very, very helpful in whatever area that it came for. If you hear the sound of the mulberry tree, then you shall advance quickly. If the sense and anointing of God begin to move and they are too slow, it will not be good. However, If they don't hear the sound, they are also not supposed to go. It has nothing to do with David's incapability. It has nothing to do with David's lack of ability. It has nothing to do with their knowledge of warfare and strategy. They were a very capable group of fighters. These are mighty fighters. They are warriors. But when you are in the Lord and you are doing something for the Lord, it is not your ability that counts. Never. When it comes to expansion, point number one, let the Lord walk in front of you. Let the Lord go before you. Whenever the Lord has led his people in a new territory, do you know the Lord? Sometimes I know the Lord walks with you. There is a Lord fellowshipping with you. But sometimes when you're going on the spiritual battle to conquer and expand new things for the Lord, you must let the Lord go before you. I know the Lord will go with you still. But remember this truth by expansion one. The Lord must go before you. And if the Lord don't go before you, you don't go. Now the Lord going before and in front of us is an important truth. It is there even in the other passages of the Bible when the Lord was bringing his people to something new. In the book of Exodus, chapter 13, when the Israelites were coming out of the land of Egypt. Now the Lord has never before appeared in that form. All the while when they were in Egypt, and they were not ready to move yet because the 10 plagues were not up yet, the Lord never manifested in this manner. But suddenly when it was time for them to go, it tells you here in verse 21, Exodus 13 verse 21, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So the Lord always will be leading them, going ahead of them, even through the wilderness. In the wilderness, when the Lord was leading them into all the various places, there are accounts of how the Lord will continue to lead them, guide them. Whenever the pillar of cloud settled down, they will settle down, they will break camp. Whenever the pillar of cloud lifts up, they know that God was going to move, and all the people to pack all their things. My friends, it took time to pack and unpack. Some of you have been traveling, some of us in the traveling ministry. You know what it's like? I mean, for us to travel, no way it is to leave out the suitcase. Sometimes you travel to a place to minister to for 3 to 5 days, and then you are ready to pack again. And then you go to another place, you're ready to pack and unpack again. And sometimes you get used to it, you learn how to leave out the suitcase. But here, they don't only pack and pack their clothes, they pack their tents, they pack their animals, they pack their children, they pack all their barang-barang and all their foodstuff and all the other things that they need, their beds. Imagine carrying your beds along, carrying your furniture along. I mean, every time they saw the pillar of cloud rest, they say, "Hallelujah, we get time to rest, unpack." And how long does it take to unpack? As long as it takes for you to move your whole house to another house. I mean, to move house. You know how long it takes to settle down? Praise God. Take some time to unpack all your boxes. And look at them here. When the Lord says, stay, they stay. Sometimes they stay in a place for a few days. Sometimes they stay in a place for months. Nobody could tell the Lord what to do. I mean, some of them are smart alex. Hey, I know the Lord. I got it all calculated. Usually, he stays about 7 days. 7 is the perfect number. And so all they are, you know, maybe the first time he did, maybe the Lord did stay 7 days in one place. And then they spend it all already. Then the next place, they say, I know. I already calculated. Got it all calculated. And they calculate. And they calculate. Oh, 7 days. They pack it all up. And the Lord, he didn't. And other times they're relaxing and already on the third day, and the Lord cloud moves, and they say, "Oh no, here we go again." I don't know. It was good news or bad news. Every time they saw the Lord cloud move up, For some, they were just about, maybe the wife was about to prepare lunch. And they're cooking somewhere out in the tent. And they're cooking somewhere, they said, hey, the car is moving, you don't have a left behind. Martha, pack the cooking pot quickly. Hey, they have got everything ready. Hold. I mean, it was really quite a lot to live. My friend, they lived their life for 40 long years. Now, it shouldn't have been that long. It should have been only 1 year. God is merciful. Because of their disobedience, they lived their life for 40 years. But the point is, the Lord goes in front, ahead of them. There's only one time when the Lord went behind them, and that was at the Red Sea, to protect them from the Israelites. That is because the enemies were from behind. But in the expansion phase, the Lord needs to go in front. And you always need to look for the Lord's signs that He has finished His work in front of you. He has prepared a way before you. Remember the promise to Moses in the book of Acts 30. Look at the book of Acts 30, chapter, looking at Exodus chapter 33. Verse 15. Then he said to you, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. Moses was desirous of the presence of the Lord coming always with his people. The Lord will always need to go in front of you in an expansion phase. Do not move into something that the Lord never moved into in your life. Now, sometimes God may have something for other people, but not for you. It is important for us to hear God what area He's expanding us into. And when the Lord begins to move in front of you, move fast, move quickly. And do not delay, don't hold the Lord back when the Lord wants to move. He will, number one, go ahead in front of you. Why must He go ahead in front of you? Because He prepares the way for you. In the book of Acts, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 6. Paul was about to launch into a new phase in his missionary journey. And in Acts 16, verse 6. Now when they had gone to Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Now, question, why didn't the Spirit allow them to go to Mysia or Bithynia? Didn't the Bible say in Matthew chapter 28, go into all the world, go and preach the gospel to all the nations of the world? Because God may have somebody else in mind to go to those areas. And those areas may not be ready to receive what Paul had. Maybe they will be ready in a later time. There's a time and a season. We'll look at that later, but let's look on. Verse 7. The Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. So now he knows where to go, to Macedonia. And the capital of Macedonia was Philippi. So Paul got into a boat and he sat still. Now Paul was expanding his ministry. It was the first time, if you look at the map of Paul's missionary journey, this is the first time that he goes on a bigger circle. He breaks out into another realm, another new area, and he expanded his missionary journey. God needs to go before him. Did God go before him? Yes. In verse 14. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us, and she was in Philippi. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to hear the things spoken by Paul. Look at verse 13. On the Sabbath day we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made. Before Paul ever went there, the Spirit of God was already moving in the people's lives. Before Apostle Paul reached the shores of Philippi, there was a group of people there, most of them women, who have already been seeking God, praying to God, seeking after God in the way, the best way they know how. Who was preparing them? The Holy Spirit. And it was because God has finished that work there that he now asked Paul. He says, Paul, can you go forth to that place now? Paul was ready. Now Philippi was ready. And when Paul went there, there was a woman especially prepared by God, whose heart has already been prepared by God. Remember this, God works before you work. God has to work before we work. Now he works with us also, and he works after we work. But the fact is, he works before we work. And we need to let God go in front of us. When it comes to the truth of expansion, let God go first. And when God goes in front, you can never fail. Catherine Kuhlman, at the peak of her ministry, got so many invitations. She has regular miracle services in some cities. In some cities, she had it every week. In some cities, she had it once, and that was all, the only time she ever had it. But there were two places where she had her meetings regularly on a weekly basis. Do you know how she knew where to go? She waited on God. She was not in a hurry to expand her ministry. She waited on God. Even though God was blessing her with thousands of people, she was not in a hurry. She waited on God. But slowly, steadily, she found that more and more people started coming from a certain city. And more, they came by the busload. And there was great healing taking place. And one day, and of all the cities, that was the city with the most people that were coming to her, to that city of the miracle service that she had it every week. And one of the ladies came to her and said, Catherine, would you have a meeting in our city? Now, Catherine had known by that time that a lot of them were from that city. And finally, she said, yes, she will go. Because the Lord had already prepared all these people ahead of her. She was going where the Lord had led the way. God was already moving even before she was there. And they just followed the Lord. Look at the way churches were established in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 8 and Acts chapter 11, after Stephen's persecution, Stephen's death, and Saul persecuting the people, there's a great persecution, and people were running away from Jerusalem, and as they ran, they were preaching the gospel. And in some places, as they preached the gospel, the grace of God was there, and a lot of people were saved. People were hungry, people were saved. You know what the church did? They followed up on that. They sent Peter and John to Samaria, and the church sent Barnabas to Antioch. The church followed where God led the way. Hallelujah. Of course, in their case, they would not have led the way there too among the Gentiles because they were Jews. But the fact is, they knew how to let God go ahead of them. Sometimes we give advice to young ministers and we tell them, go with the flow. What we mean is go where God goes ahead of you. You step behind God. And if you walk behind God, God prepares the way ahead of you, prepares people, he prepares everything. And you're just walking behind God, following after God. It is an easy thing to expand. It's not difficult. It's not heartbreaking. It's not causing tension. It's not going to break your back because God has moved ahead of you. Hallelujah! Yeah. But if you move without God, and God is going to the north, and you're going to the south, for some reason, maybe you don't like the north. Maybe you want to go to the south because all your relatives are there. Or whatever is there. And God has told you this way. And God has gone that direction. The pillar of cloud is there. And if you have followed there, God will have favor. But you begin to go on your own inclination. And all you saw was an angel somewhere in the northern side waving, bye-bye. And the angel said, why is the angel waving at me? They must be blessing me, indeed. They're waving goodbye to you. They're not going to go where you go by yourself. Unless the Lord builds his house, they labor in vain for building. Unless the Lord does it, you cannot come in to do it. Learn the first key of expansion. Let the pillar of cloud go ahead of you. Was it easy when you follow the cloud? Yes. Is it hard when you leave the cloud? Yes, it is. But go where the pillar of cloud goes in front, because he will prepare people for you. And he will prepare the finances ahead for you. He will prepare all the people who will help you in that direction. And he will prepare all the necessary structures for that area if you will let the Lord lead the way. And number one, let the Lord go before you. Now, to close up point number one, there are also sometimes supernatural signs that he shows you. Although we don't go by signs, but there are supernatural signs and favor that go before you, that you know that's the direction God wants you to go in. We are not saying depend on the circumstances. Paul did not depend on the circumstances, because the circumstances were still quite tough when he followed the Lord. But one thing he knows, God was in fact. Remember when he went to Philippi, one of the first things they got was have their backs whipped and got locked up in prison. It doesn't mean the circumstances may be easy. There are still tough kinds of things. But one thing you know, you're in God's perfect will. Even if the whip is on your back, the chains are on your legs and on your hands, the prison bars are in front of you, you're isolated, ostracized, and you're condemned, there will be a storm in your heart, in your mouth, like the apostle Paul and Silas, who at midnight prayed and sang him to God. Hallelujah! 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 And the whole prison doors were open. An earthquake came. When you know God is with you, and God has shown you that he has gone ahead, be confident, be bold. Because he will be strong on your behalf. But let him go first. In the expansion thing, no matter how confident you are of your structure, how confident you are of your anointing, how confident you are of your ability and the talent God gave you, don't go yet. Let him go first. And businessman, if you're anointed for business, just because you're successful in a supermarket line doesn't mean you can go into the banking line. If God didn't ask you to go in the banking line and you go in, you may be bankrupt, even though very seldom do they go bankrupt. But today they do. Even banks today go bankrupt. Just because you're successful in one line doesn't mean you'll be successful in another line. If the Lord did not go, don't go. If the Lord goes ahead, then go. Even if your structure is already. A lot of people make mistakes here. They make mistakes because phase 1 and phase 2 were ready, and they don't know the laws that govern phase 2. They think that just because they can do it, they can do it. You may lose everything that you accumulate in phase 1 and phase 2. If you do phase 3 wrongly, you can lose everything you ever accumulated in phase 1 and phase 2. We need to, number one, let the Lord go ahead. Number two, let's look at the book of Acts. Chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Jesus was about to be taken, Jesus was taken up in fact into the cloud, and just as he was about to be taken, the disciples asked him some questions regarding Israel in verse 6 to 8. Therefore, when they had come, in Acts 1 verse 6, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Learn, in number two, learn the law of timing and season. There is a time and season within us, and a time and season for every place and every nation and Aristippus. Simeon was one of the men who walked with God and who loved God. There is a time and season within us and a time and season for every place and every nation and every city. Simeon was one of the men who walked with God and who loved God. In the book of Luke chapter 1, we are told in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2, we are told that Simeon was a very devout man. He loved God so much and he walked so closely with God that God gave him a special blessing. God said, Simeon, you will not die until you see the Messiah. Oh, that was an exciting thing. For them, it was an exciting thing. And when the time for the Messiah to be dedicated was there, and Jesus was circumcised on the 8th day, the Holy Spirit told Simeon, today, now every day there are babies being circumcised, but today I want you to go to the temple and you will see the Messiah. And in the Gospel of Luke, Simeon, by now an old man, who was faithful to God, came, it says here in Gospel of Luke chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 25, his name was Simeon, a just and devout man. Verse 27, he came by the Spirit into the temple. And the moment he saw Jesus, baby Jesus, he took that child out and he said, this is the Messiah. And he thanked God, and he worshipped God, and he wept, he probably wept, and he probably cried. This was the desire of his lifetime. Finally, he has touched the Messiah, although he's just a little baby. And he says, dear God, I'm ready to die. You have kept your promise. You know that Simeon lived in a time and a season when Jesus was just going to be born. If Simeon had been born a little bit later, he could have been one of the disciples of Jesus. Could have been one of the followers of Jesus. But he was born ahead. And some of us are thinking, what a pity. No, he has his job. Maybe Simeon were among the intercessors that intercede with better way. And they will be with Jesus in heaven anyway. They each have their work and their plan to fulfill. It was not the season for Simeon to be a disciple of Jesus. I mean, that's baby Jesus. Simeon didn't say, oh God, give me another 50 years so that I can follow this baby and be his disciple. And take the hand of baby Jesus and bless him. Oh baby Jesus. And whatever baby Jesus do, he will be there. And baby Jesus needs to stand for change, he will be there. The disciple. No. He lived in a different season. But he was faithful to his season. There are times and seasons that God has set. Revival is dependent on the three laws. It depends on God. Three possibilities. Either God does it. Some people, there are three views in revival. God sovereignly gives it. Number two, if humans are ready, we can always have revival anytime. But the third view is the most accurate. God and man. Sometimes man is ready, but it's not God's season, like Simeon. Sometimes God is ready, and men are not ready. But the third view is correct. All revival takes place because it's in the timing of God and men are ready. On the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost has fully come, not just because God purposely wanted to test them for 10 days, but because there was a perfect time written in heaven and somehow hidden in the calendars of mankind for God to do different things in different seasons at different times. Point number two in expansion,
understand the times and the seasons of God. Turn to Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. This here in verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That brings forth its fruit in its season. Now that doesn't mean that we are only obedient when the season of God is there. Paul says, be steadfast, be faithful, preach the word in season and out of season. Now, what does Paul mean in season and out of season? Let me ask you, what does he mean? What does Paul mean by preach the word in season and out of season? Interpretation number one. Preach the word when you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. Well, okay, that's a subjective opinion. But what does he really mean in season and out of season? Is he talking about the season of your life or the season of the work of the Spirit of God? Let me tell you, he's talking about the seasons of revival. There are times of refreshing. There are times when people are more open than at other times. Japan was in season about 15 years ago, after the Second World War. Russia is in season now. Japan is now beginning to open up a little bit. But the people basically, for the past 10, 20 years now, are hard against the gospel. There is a season and there's a time. Paul says, be ready in season and out of season. Preach the word in season and out of season. What does he mean? What he means is, whether you're preaching to multitudes or to one or two people, you remain faithful. You continue to have the same walk with God. Whether you're preaching to thousands of people or to just a small crowd, it's the same dedication, the same love for God, the same faithfulness that you will bring forth. Because crowds come and crowds go. General church growth will take place. But sometimes, you go to places and there are crowds. You go to India, you can have crowds. If you're a foreign preacher who can function in the gifts and have powerful preaching, people can draw a big crowd in India. And then you go over to Iran, you'll be happy if you manage to preach in a whole fellowship with 15 people. In season and out season, what causes that? The season of his nation. Some nations' seasons are not fully right yet. We remain faithful. We must, number two, know the times and seasons of God. Now, one of the things why there is an internal season in our life and an external season of the places that God sent us to expand. Let me talk about the internal for a moment. There are many people who would like to preach to 5,000 people. Let me ask you very frankly, why do you want to do that? What is your heart attitude for? What is your real motivation? Is it self-glorification? Is it fame? Is it recognition? And here is the mystery of God. When you desire to be big, that bigness has to die before that bigness can come. Sometimes people want to have signs and wonders. But do you know the Spirit of God searches the deep things of man's heart? Why do you want those people to be healed? Is it so that they can know you as a man of power? Is it so you can have some fame, some recognition? Or is it really because you love people and you love them so much you can't afford to see them sick and suffer? Sometimes, my friend, if he's a good teacher, sometimes they will not have the wrong motive, but they can have mixed motives. Even John Osteen shared in his life how when he was in India and there was a big crowd there, He really stood the anointing upon to function in certain gifts. But there was a man whom he called up, not by the Spirit, but out of his eagerness to bring healing to that person. And nothing happened. He talked about it in one of his books. And he said, he repented and he wept before God. He said, God, I'm sorry. I did it just for to show people that I'm a great man of God. I'm just trying to prove myself. And when he cried and he repented, while they were crying out to God, the man with the twisted foot, the legs moved normal. God will only do the miracle because you really love Him and you want His glory. And let me tell you very frankly, honestly, God deals with your heart. There are many people who want to build big churches. The desire is good. The desire is right. But here's the secret. God deals in your heart until you don't want to do it because of anything but because of God's call and because you really love the soul. When you begin to start, you have mixed motives. Partly for fame, partly for recognition, partly so people can see how big you are. Until finally something on your inside dies. You die to the desire for bigness. Then only you have bigness come. And a lot of us, we want signs and wonders. We cry, we pray. And the city of God says, Saha, my child, why do you really want that? Now sometimes we can lie with our mouth, we can deceive ourselves, we can tell people all the good reasons why we want it. But in the secret places of our devotional life, in the silence of our devotion, where our heart is exposed before God, there is pride, there is self-glorification, there is the desire for fame, desire for this thing, that even we ourselves do not see and do not know, that God will patiently, kindly, and mercifully deal with our life. Like Moses, 40 years in the wilderness, he scrubs and he rubs and he bends and he breaks and he causes us to be so broken until we say, God, even if we are called to preach to one all our life, we'll be happy if we preach to. We are called to preach to a million, we are happy. Oh God, we don't care anymore for those things. We don't care anymore for those things. We will only love souls. And even if we win all the souls to somebody else and we help the somebody else to win all the souls and get no glory for it, we will still do it. Until your heart is purified. Like gold refining fire. Then and only then does God begin working. Your season has come. Every vision is good, but you must die to you to the vision first before the vision can live in your life. Businessman, your desire to accumulate wealth. You say, oh, that I may give to the church, oh, that I may give to the kingdom of God. Is that really true? Is that really true right now? Is it really the heart of how? Is it covetousness? Is it really that benevolent desire, or is it the desire to be rich and to have plenty? Only God knows. Only God knows. I can assure you, God will search our heart, search our heart, until there's nothing left on our inside. And you die into all those things. And your desire ultimately and the fullness of your desire is Jesus, Jesus and Jesus alone. Not once in a while in a prayer meeting, not once in a while in a worship service. Once in a while all of us get those kind of desires where we really want all for Jesus. But until it occupies your thinking life, your daily life, your conscious life, until that desire begins to affect your business decision, your ministry decision, every other area decision. I mean, once in a while, in the midst of big worship, we get touched by God, and we really feel like we could give everything in our life, give our bodies to be burned for the love of God, that others may live, that we may die, that others may live. Give everything unto God. And then when you go back home, and the glory of the worship starts fading off, you begin to make your own decisions, again yourself come in. S-E-L-F comes in. It's thinking about ourselves, think about our own wealth, think about this. Slowly, slowly, selfishness starts creeping in. Let me tell you, it is when we die permanently. When we die permanently. Not just die once in a while. God knows our heart. We can hide from people, we can hide from our own Christian brothers or sisters, we can hide from our pastors, we can hide from our friends, we can even hide from our own family. Deep in your heart of heart, God knows why you do what you do. Sometimes we even hide from our own selves and we do not know. And God purifies our heart and life until pure gold comes out. And then God says, the tree is now ready to bear fruit. Because do you know when you bear fruit, it's time for you to die. Unless the corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it cannot bear much fruit. When you are willing to give yourself your all permanently at the altar, and willing to live for Jesus and Jesus alone, and truly, 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 the glory and the only reason for your life living is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, then it's time for your season. And then in the other seasons of nation, that is in the hands of God. But remember number two, there is a time and season of God in expansion. Success in area A doesn't promise success in area B. Now I know what we all humans are like. When we are successful in some area, we acquire a natural soul capability so that we can bring it into a second area and we can start it faster. But then we still got to wait on the Lord. Because you can do it, but you may not be able to continue it because it will set your strength. We still need God in the structure and manifestation. Finally, let's turn to the book of John, chapter 15. John chapter 15. That is where all of us need to spend a lot of time with God. Even in your success and in your failure. We, dying to self is not something you do yesterday. Dying to self is something we do all the time. Every moment of the day. And it's something that you need to continue all the time. In the book of John chapter 15. Jesus says in verse 1 onwards, I'm the wine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch the best fruit is prune, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Now we know what those words mean from the second verse, verse 5. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. 2 points to remember for today. Number one, let God go first. Let God go first. The next question. Let God go ahead of me. Number two, there's a time and season that we must be obedient to in our own personal life. And it has to do with God's dealing in our own life. Because the dealings of God are very deep and very sacred. But finally, when He does, it will be the biggest expansion that you will ever have in your life. Let's pray. Father God, we praise You and thank You for the work of Your Holy Spirit in our hearts, Lord. And You teach us, O God, to be faithful in little things and faithful in big things, O God. We human beings have a natural tendency to always be in a hurry. Sometimes in our hurry, Lord, we give spiritual goals with selfish motives. We justify. Oh God, You know our heart, You know our lives. You know our motives, oh God. Father, for some of us, the time is coming for an expansion thing. We need to know, Lord, the dealings of Your Spirit in our lives so that we can flow in an expansion phase of Your Spirit, Lord. Help us, Lord, and guide us, oh God, we pray. In Jesus' name. Let us all rise together and sing that song, "Search Me, O God, and Know My Heart," today. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. If you're here right now, you've never been born again, and you want to be born again, you want to ask Jesus to come into your heart and life as personal Lord and Savior. We invite you to step forward to the front, over my left. If you came with your friend, and you're new to all these things, ask your friend to accompany you to the front, where we have a pastor to meet with you here, and we have prayed with you. What else are you, whatever needs in your life, and He has to pray with you for. We will pray with you. Maybe you are in your expansion phase and God is dealing in your heart and life. Let Him put your heart and life fully. Thank You, Jesus.